Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Over the past decade, going outside to play has become a distant thought for children due to technology. But how is the Jacksonville Zoo trying to turn that into less screen time and more going outside to play time? Today, we're talking to the Jacksonville Zoo about their education programs. I'm joined by Jamie Gilkison, the Education Engagement Supervisor. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, this is a fun topic. It's the zoo. Everybody right. wants to go to the zoo. It's kind of laid back. So let's talk about some of the education programs at the zoo.
Yes.
Of course, the students can go from school, right?
Yes, absolutely. We offer school programs for groups pre-K through high school. The vast majority of the programs that we offer on-site, we could also do at the school. So if the school can't come to us, we can bring the animals. There's a couple programs we do on-site that we can't do in a school setting because we're out at the exhibits. But most of our programs we can do on-site or off. All those classes are aligned with the state standards. So it fits right in with the teacher's curriculum.
So is it broken down? You have elementary, middle, and a high school program?
No, we have programs for every grade.
Okay, so that's even
more. So for example, third grade, the students are learning about vertebrate classification. We have a vertebrate classification class. We can do it at the zoo, or we can pack up some of our education animal ambassador animals, take them to the school, and do the program in your classroom.
So what would you bring for a third grader?
Right. So what animals would we bring?
Yeah.
So we have a collection of animals. We call them our animal ambassadors. These are obviously it's not going to be like a giraffe, something really big.
That would be so cool.
Not going to be a lion, something that would be kind of dangerous. No, they're all animals that are small enough for us to pack up and transport in a zoo vehicle, take into the classrooms. We hold them. Kids get to touch them. There's a few animals kids can't touch, but most of the animals the kids get to touch. So it's things like small reptiles like turtles, tortoises. We've got several species of skink. We've got several species of snake. We've got small mammals. We've got chinchillas and tinrec and hedgehog, skunks. We've got several bird species, several amphibian species.
One thing you mentioned.
What did I say? You're looking at me funny.
This is going to be educational for Julie, everybody. So a skink?
Skink. Uh-huh. It's a type of lizard.
Oh.
We have two different species of skink right now. We have blue-tongued skinks, and we have a prehensile-tailed skink. So they're all animals that are, you can easily hold them. They're not huge. Mm-hmm. Easily hold them in one or two hands. Oh, and I forgot to mention, we do have some baby gators as well. Little baby alligators. I don't know exactly. I'd say they're probably nose to tail, maybe about 2 feet or so.
Do you bring the baby gators,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They travel.
They're not scary?
No. All of our education animals, and I will say this to the kids a lot of times in a program, these are animals that used to being around people. They're used to being picked up and touched. This is their job. They are presented in front of either it be school kids or maybe we go into a nursing home or a hospital setting. They go to birthday parties at the zoo or overnight programs. These are animals that are used to being picked up, handled, and around people. They're used to us. As long as we're not doing anything to scare them or upset them, they're relaxed and they're comfortable. I always tell kids, the snake I'm holding today in the program, it's safe to touch the snake. I'm going to teach you how to touch it safely. We're not going to do anything to upset the snake. If you see a snake outside in the grass, don't try to touch that snake. That snake's not used to people. It's going to be afraid. And for most animals, a defense mechanism is biting. If they can't run away, they might bite. So you don't ever want to try and pick up a baby gator outside. But the baby gators that we have for our programs are completely safe to touch.
All right. We talked about what you bring to third grade. I'm serious. Yeah. I want to know, what about
Seventh graders.
Seventh. Now, for seventh grade, for middle school and high school, we do have a career program that we call Zoo Careers, and it's just all about careers at the zoo. We also have a program called Expedition Explore, and it is a program, and this is one we have to do at the zoo. We can't do this one as an outreach because we take the kids out in the zoo, and it's kind of like an in-depth guided tour at some of the exhibits, talking about the animals, and then we have things that we use in our programs that we refer to as biofacts, things like skulls and pelts, maybe antlers or snake sheds, you know, things like that. So we'll use those in our lessons. We also do a water program for middle and high school. I believe it's middle and high school, called Amazing Aquatics, because the zoo is, you know, sitting on the Trout River, and we've got a dock there at the zoo. So we actually go out and collect water from the Trout River and do water sampling, looking for macro and micro invertebrates. So that's a program we do at the zoo. We cannot do it in the classroom.
What do you find whenever you do that?
Usually just a bunch of little tiny macro invertebrates, little, they look like little insects in the water. Sometimes they're so small you can't see them without a microscope. Sometimes you can.
I noticed another thing on your website, family early childhood
yes.
education.
Yes.
What's the difference between that and group early?
Right. So early childhood, obviously, is children under the age of kindergarten. A group early childhood program would be like a daycare center coming and doing a program. They can come, we'll do programs with them at the zoo, or again, we can go to their daycare center and do a program. So it would be a group of little ones. Family programs, then it's for parents or grandparents with little kids. And we've got several early childhood programs for families. For the 0 to 3-year-old age range, we have a brand new program called Stroller Safari. We do it once a month. It's on weekends. It kind of flip-flops between Saturday and Sunday dates, where the adults come with their little ones in a stroller. We'll meet you at the front gate. We tour a section of the zoo. Of course, the educator is giving information as we tour through the zoo. There's songs. There's little, it kind of varies from one month to the next. They'll sing a song. They might read a storybook. There's always an animal encounter with one of our animal ambassadors. And it's a little short 45-minute program. Because it's in the zoo, we finish in the zoo, and then the families are free to stay at the zoo that day. So that's Stroller Safari. Yoga Cups is also a newer program for us this year, and we do this on the third Saturday of each month. And again, it doesn't have to be mom. It could be dad or grandparent or an auntie, anybody that wants to come with a little one. We take kids 0 to 3 years old, and you come and do a yoga class. We've partnered with Bay and Bee, so it's their yoga instructor that comes and does the program. If they're infants, the adult is doing yoga poses holding the baby. And if the little ones are a little bit older, last month we had some between 1.5 and 2-year-olds. We're trying to get them to do some of the poses as well. So it's just a wonderful bonding moment for moms or dads with little babies. And then Nature's Newbies is another program that's for children 1 to 3. And this is a program that occurs monthly. It actually occurs several times a month. You have to go to the website to see the schedule because we run this Nature's Newbies and Zoo Taught. So the programs we run like in semesters. So you can sign up for one individual date or you can sign up for a semester of dates, which would cover several months. And you get a discount if you sign up for the semester. With Nature's Newbies, again, it's for children 1 to 3 years old. It's when you first come into the classroom, we have all these different interactive sensory PlayStations out. There's a theme for each class. And it's basically child-directed free play for the first, like, 20 minutes of the class. Then there's an animal encounter with one of our animal ambassadors. There's a storybook and a little song at the end. So that's a 45-minute program. Zoo Tots is for children then from 3 to 5-year-olds. This is an hour-long program. Again, it's set up on a semester schedule, like the Nature's Newbies. And in that program, there's a theme or a topic for each class that has a little more structure to it than the Newbies does. But there's activities for the kids to do, an animal ambassador, a little mini lesson. It's kind of hard to even call it a lesson, but there's a little topic that they're talking about, a storybook.
Now, when we think about all of these programs and they're geared towards education, why is it so important for a child to learn about these things?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, especially with the early childhood programs, the first couple years of their life are just an extremely important time for children to just be exposed to all sorts of sensory things. Their little brains are just growing so fast at that time. So what we do in our programming is we're trying to instill a love for nature, a love for animals. With our Nature's Newbies and Zoo Tots, we also have a little small, what we call nature play space. It's right next to the classroom where we hold those programs, so that the kids, we're teaching, as little infants, we're teaching them to play outside. If you just Google nature play benefits, there's just an enormous amount of research that's been done to demonstrate all the benefits of kids being outside. And unfortunately, as you know, we live in a very technology-driven society nowadays, and kids don't play outside like they did when we were kids. So we are trying to really instill that in families at a very young age to get your kids outside.
With that being said, knowing that kids like technology.
Yes.
Do you have anything that's based on technology at the zoo for them to learn?
With the programs I've talked about so far, not so much. We do also do camp programs. We just finished summer camp, obviously, a couple weeks ago before school started. We'll do a couple days of camp during the month of October around our Spooktacular event. We'll do some days when the kids are out of school in December, and we'll do camp again on spring break. With some of the upper elementary, middle school age kids in camp, we do use, it depends on the lesson, but we do use some iPad apps. We have microscopes. We might have the kids doing things like that. I mean, we don't get too heavy into computers or anything like that. Again, all of our most of our programming, you know, we're trying to get kids outside.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
Let's talk about some of the special programs that are coming up. One of the things you mentioned, Spooktacular. Mm-hmm. Now, I always see it advertised, but I never know what it is. What is it?
It is a huge event at our zoo. It runs for several weeks, starting about mid-October. The entire zoo is going to be transformed with decorations for Halloween. The Spooktacular nights, the nights when we have the event, families can come. Of course, kids and parents can dress up in costumes if they want. They don't have to. Come to the zoo. Everything's decorated for Halloween. We have tons of people in costumes. We'll have themed areas in the zoo where people are in costumes, great photo ops. There is trick-or-treating, of course. We have candy for the kids to trick-or-treat. And then along with that, we do offer, we're having 3 days of what we call Spooktacular Camp. And that's for kids kindergarten through fifth grade, where they can come for, it's a half-day camp. It runs, they can either sign up for the morning, which is 9 to noon, or the afternoon, which is 1 to 4. And they come and we'll do camp activities. Our camps typically revolve around a lesson, a walk out in the zoo, an animal encounter with our animal ambassadors, and then some sort of craft or activity that the kids do that goes along with the theme. And our Spooktacular Camp thing this summer is all about treats. You know, everybody associates candy and treats with Halloween. And we're going to be talking about human candy and treats and how those products might affect animals in the wild. And then also talking about what treats are for animals. And we'll be talking about enrichment, which is something we do with pretty much all the animals in our zoo, where we do provide them interactive treats or things to stimulate their mind. We call that enrichment. It might be popcorn hidden in a box that they have to tear apart or different things like that. So we'll be talking about that as well. The dates of Spooktacular Camp are October the 20th, the 21st, and the 28th.
That's interesting. All going back to education regarding the animals and getting them outside, because treats, you guys have to be very creative, because I'm like, how are they going to tie that in?
Right. Yeah.
Do you teach them? Obviously, at a zoo, you have exotic animals.
Right.
But what about regular animals that we have in our homes? Do you teach anything about that? Like dogs and cats?
Sometimes. It depends on the lesson. That would be something that would come up probably most likely in a camp curriculum. We also do monthly homeschool programming. It's called Homeschools Academy. And depending on the the topics. You know, we have curriculum for all of our programs. It just depends. Sometimes we do teach to younger kids the difference between domesticated and wild animals. So that would be a time when we would be speaking to that. Or sometimes we're just talking about basic needs of animals. And especially when you're working with younger kids, like say 4, 5, 6-year-old kids, sometimes it's easier for the kids to understand what you're talking about if you can relate it to an animal that they know in their home. And, you know, your dog has to have fresh food and fresh water to drink every day and food to eat and a safe place to sleep, just like the animals in the wild do and the animals at the zoo. If your dog gets sick, you take him to the veterinarian. We have a veterinarian at the zoo. So if any of the zoo animals get sick, they go see the doctor. You know, so it does certainly help when you're teaching with younger kids to relate things to pet animals.
So is it also teaching them the responsibility that they need to take on if they're going to own an animal or if their parent is going to allow them to own one?
Sure, absolutely. Pretty regular when we're doing a program, and it could be of any age group, with our animal ambassadors. Sometimes people will make comments of, oh, that's a really cool animal. I want one as a pet, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a really great learning opportunity for us to explain to people that, you know, I'm holding this baby gator and I'm letting you touch it. This is one of our education animals. You know, our education animals are not pet animals. You know, they work for us at the zoo. I know, at least with me, when I'm teaching, I just try and explain to the kids, you know, why an alligator would not make a good pet. A topic that will sometimes come up is if we're using snakes in programs. As you may or may not know, we've got a problem in the state of Florida with pythons in the Everglades. And it's where people have gotten snakes as pets. And of course, they get them, they buy them, they're really tiny. And then it grows up to be a like 15-foot snake. You know, people don't think that through. And I will, if I'm ever talking with kids, if this conversation kind of comes up, I'll just make sure they understand, you know, you have to do your research and understand what you're getting. How big is it going to grow to be? What do I need to feed it? How do I need to house it? How long is it going to live? So we've got a problem in the state now where people have had snakes. They've just released them into the wild. They don't want them anymore. And unfortunately, we've got these non-native species of snakes in South Florida that are basically eating native species. And so it's completely throwing off the ecosystem, because those big reticulated pythons or anacondas or whatever they are, they shouldn't be here. Same thing with birds. You know, I always tell kids, we've got several parrots, and people see parrots on TV or in a movie or just out someplace, and they talk and they just seem so cute and so fun. Well, most of the time they scream. You know, that cute, sweet little hello, I love you is not the only sound those birds make. So you got to think of that if you're going to get a tropical bird and have it in your house. It's going to scream a lot. And then you got to realize, especially with parrots, these are birds that live a really long time. In a lot of cases, they will outlive their owner. So you've got to have, you know, think about that. Is this a bird you're going to write into your will? Who's going to take care of this bird after you pass away? Because some species can live to be 40, 50, 60 years old. So we don't usually hit on all that kind of stuff unless it just kind of comes up in conversation. If kids ask questions, then we certainly try to educate them on, you know, if you're thinking of getting a pet, domestic cat, domestic dog, it's really a much better way to go than something more exotic.
Okay, so this brings up another question.
Uh-huh.
Again, related to education, because what if the parent has no idea any of that? Are there classes for adults so they can learn that information and not bring a snake into the house?
Bring a snake into the house. The only thing that we really have going on right now, we do, it's not that kind of programming like you're thinking. We do teacher workshops. So we do those a couple times a year. School teachers come, and it's all curriculum based, where they're getting a curriculum book to take back to school to use afterwards. Occasionally we will have something that's targeted to adults. I know our conservation wellness area of the zoo, they hold conservation lecture series from time to time. And of course that's all geared towards adults. But something more along the lines like you were just describing, no, we don't currently do anything like that.
I would attend that class. I would. So just in case you come up with okay. it, you have my number.
We do have something we started last year, and it was extremely successful. So we're definitely doing it again this year, is we're having Zoo Career Awareness Days. We get an unbelievable amount of phone calls and emails from schools. They want the zoo to send staff to their career day. And, you know, we just don't have the staff or the time to do that. Of course, everybody wants to hear from a keeper or veterinarian. Well, those people are busy at the zoo taking care of the animals, right? So we started this last year. We actually have 4 dates on the calendar this year for Career Awareness Day. Our first one is coming up on September the 16th, which is a Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., where we are going to have a member or two from every single department in the zoo available. And they're basically set up at tables. Families, parents can bring their kids and just walk around and you know, just kind of float around the room and talk to whoever they want to. And we do this, I mean, they can be kids of any age. They can be elementary, middle, high school. We'll talk to them about, you know, if you're interested in working with animals, these are the kinds of classes you need to take. This is the kind of college, if you need a college degree or not, what you need to be looking at, or talking about volunteer opportunities and internship opportunities. You know, everybody thinks of zookeepers and veterinarians when they think of staff that work at the zoo. I work at the zoo and I work in education. I'm an educator. We have a finance department. You know, so if it's some kid is really good at math but also loves animals, you can be an accountant at the zoo. You know, we have a facilities department. We have an exhibits team. They build exhibitry and design stuff, especially like for our big special events. You know, we have a safety and security team. We have an IT department. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize all of the non-animal jobs that there are at a zoo. So our first date is coming up, like I said, on September the 16th. We've got 4 dates planned for this year. There's one in November, one in January, and one in February. All the information, those dates are on our website. We do ask parents to RSVP if they think they want to come. There's a link on the website to click just to give us your head count and your email address to let us know you're coming. That way we can judge attendance. We can have an idea of about how many people are going to show up for each date. We are also hosting September the 27th. If we have any school teachers out there listening, we are having our first teacher open house. This is going to be our first one. We're calling it our first annual. It's something we're planning on doing every year. We have invited partners from other organizations here in Jacksonville to come and participate so teachers can come and get information about field trips, about curriculum, about anything that we have for them, any sort of resources, teacher workshops. So it's scheduled for September 27th, which is an early release day, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the zoo. It is free to teachers. We do ask that educators only attend. This isn't an event to bring your kids to. It's, you know, just for teachers to come to get information about programming. But we are going to have some food and drinks available. It's free. But once again, we ask that you go to the website, click on the RSVP link so we have an idea of how many people are planning on coming.
Now, give everyone your website.
Okay, it's really easy. www.jacksonvillezoo.org.
That is an easy one.
Yeah, everything we have talked about today is on our website.
All right. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate being invited.
And thank you as well for joining us this morning on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.